Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOL, 107.3 FM, 7:50 AM, middle of the week, and we're actually counting down the days to UFC 214. I can't believe how fast the summer is flying by. It seems just like yesterday we were playing clips of the press conference between Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. Now we're set for the rematch this Saturday. It's going to take place in Anaheim. Joining us right now over the phone to talk about that and the card in general, we have Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio, one of the best MMA minds that I've ever come in contact with. Larry, as always, it's a pleasure to get you on. I look forward to your expertise every time you join us.
Thanks, Jordan. I'm still kind of struck by you saying we're counting down the days to UFC 214 because, I don't know, that's going to be the first time in 8 months that anyone's actually used the words counting down the days to a UFC pay-per-view because it's been a horrendous year so far. But it is refreshing to actually be excited about a UFC pay-per-view card, because last time that happened for me was UFC 205 in November in Madison Square Garden, and there's certainly been a number of them since then, but at least we have one we can really be excited about. It's a fantastic card.
We really can, and I'll tell you, Larry, I rarely buy into the pre-fight hype. If it's boxing, if it's MMA, it doesn't matter. I rarely buy into the hype. However, this go-around, it is obvious and it's blatant, even for the lighthearted UFC fan, that Jones and Cormier truly dislike each other. And that, to me, in itself is entertainment.
Oh, listen, I'm a big fan of true bad blood. I am not a fan at all of manufactured bad blood, and then they hug and kiss afterwards, and everything's hunky-dory. This is true bad blood. There will not be any shaking hands. There will not be any friendships. These two absolutely despise one another. And listen, you know, the other thing that I think in a way makes this fight even more anticipated, but at the same time we kind of reserve a little bit of our excitement, is it's, I believe, the fifth time that they've been booked to fight one another. Daniel Cormier pulled out when Jon Jones ended up fighting Ovin St. Preux. Cormier pulled out because of an injury. Of course, Jon Jones' problems with UFC 200 and the drug test, he pulls out. Then there was another fight scheduled before the first one, the first time that they fought. That was actually the second time they were booked. So we've kind of been in this dance with these two guys for so long. And at the end of the day, I think what makes the fight exciting as well is not as much the first fight, because Jones destroyed Cormier the first time. It was a wide decision. He won 4 out of 5 rounds very clearly and showed that he's actually the better wrestler. But if you take Alexander Gustafsson out of the equation, because he's fought to 2 very, very close fights with both of these gentlemen, these two are the 2 of the 3 best at 205 pounds, maybe in history. Because I'm not sure Gustafsson can't beat both of them because of the fights that he's had with them. John is obviously the best light heavyweight in the history of mixed martial arts, not just the UFC, any 205 ever. And Cormier can lay claim to that with a win over Jones. So this isn't, you know, one of the things that drives me crazy when I see the matchups, some of the matchmaking they do, you'll literally turn your television on and see, you know, so-and-so as the champion is fighting the 9th-ranked whoever. That's not this. This literally is 2 of the 3 best, perhaps, in the history of the whole sport. And we don't get those opportunities that often. And then to lace that with the level of hatred that these two have for one another, it makes for a special fight.
How interested are you to see how Jon Jones actually looks? Because it's been over a year since we have seen him in the cage. And if you go back over his last few wins, Larry, it has been a while since he actually ended a fight before going to the scorecards. I don't know how much that actually plays into what we're going to see on Saturday, but I believe the last stoppage was against Sonnen, if I remember correctly, just off of the top of my head. So going back over it, how interested are you to see how Jon Jones actually looks, and do you believe there will be some cage rust?
You know, that is the theory for the people that hold to the notion that Daniel Cormier wins this fight. Because, you know, it's been interesting to me when I saw the odds come out and I saw it was about minus 250. That was surprising to me. I honestly think it should be about minus 4 or 450. I don't think this is a close fight. So I've been very interested to hear, and I've watched different video compilations of, you know, like pros pick type of predictions. I've read, you know, different places where people have broken down the fight in favor of Daniel Cormier. I can't find a single person who says that Daniel's going to win, but that he does anything better than John Jones, because they can't, because he doesn't. Jones is superior to him in a submission square off as far as his Brazilian jiu-jitsu. Jones, little known fact, Jones has more submissions than any light heavyweight in UFC history. That's not close. John has a 12.5-inch reach advantage, a 5-inch reach a 5-inch height advantage, and outstruck Cormier by about 50 strikes in the first fight, so advantage Jones. Jones has been in multiple 5-round fights and not gassed. His cardio is exceptional, advantage Jones. And the one thing that you looked at in the first fight going in that we didn't know was, hey, we've seen Daniel Cormier, who was an Olympic-level wrestler, go in and toss guys like Josh Barnett, 255, 260 pounds, toss them on their head like rag dolls. So was he going to go in and just dominate John in the wrestling, win 3 out of 5 rounds, and win the fight? Come to find out, John's actually the better wrestler. Come to find out, Daniel goes 1-for-8 on takedowns against John, who has exceptional takedown defense, and John takes him down 3 or 4 times. So if we're going to look for paths to victory, if we're going to look for how does he technically win, I've yet to hear anybody put forth a technical, physical fighting explanation as to how that happens. The only thing I've heard is what you highlighted. John's been inactive. John didn't look good against Ovin St. Preux, to which I would agree he didn't look like the John Jones we're accustomed to, but let's not get it twisted. He won 5 out of 5 rounds against a short-notice opponent, and I would argue to you that John looked a lot better against Ovin St. Preux than Daniel Cormier looked against Anderson Silva at UFC 200. The John who fought Ovin St. Preux would dominate the Daniel that fought Ovin St. Preux at UFC 200. So if the best argument that people can make is cage rust, I understand that some fighters are susceptible to that, and I understand that they will look at the Ovin St. Preux fight and say, see, he was rusty, he didn't look so great, and Daniel can beat that version of John. I just don't buy it. Do I think it will affect John? Maybe for a round. You know, I think he lost the first round to Daniel in the first fight and then cruised in the last 4. I think there's also the argument that John has put forth, and I'm not sure it's not true. I'm not saying this is, I can't get in his head. But he said he fought safely against Ovin St. Preux. He said he didn't want to show everything against Ovin St. Preux. John was a 5-to-1 favorite, could have been a 10-to-1 favorite against Ovin. So Ovin didn't belong in the cage with him. He knew there was little threat from OSP. And I think for a guy who hadn't fought in a year, he was going to fight safe. He was going to fight controlled. And he was just going to be dominant, but not the John of old, who takes chances, who, you know, would go for a finish. And I think against Daniel, it's going to be different. I don't think it'll be a safe fight. I think Daniel is going to take it to him and be very aggressive, because I think as much as Daniel says he's emotionally in check, he's not. I think he looks at John as the one obstacle to his legacy, and John is. The unfortunate thing for Daniel is, I don't know, Jordan, let me ask you something. Who's the second best basketball player of the Jordan era?
Oof,
that guy.
Of the Jordan era? Second best basketball player of the Jordan era. That's a tough question. That's a really tough question. You never hear anyone talk about it, Larry, because number one was so far and above.
Michael Jordan, period.
Mm-hmm.
John Jones is Michael Jordan. And unfortunately for Daniel Cormier, he's living and competing in the same division of the Jordan of MMA. And John's had a lot of problems. He is a self-destructive athlete in many ways. He's an idiot when it comes to his life outside the cage. But when that door closes, this is the most talented mixed martial artist we've ever seen. So unless he is doing things to self-destruct, people don't beat him in the cage. He beats himself out of the cage. And I feel like if he shows up, cage rust, whatever, the bottom line is he is a 30-year-old entering his prime who has already dominated Daniel Cormier 2.5 years ago. Daniel Cormier is a 38-year-old exiting his prime, and it doesn't happen too often, Jordan, where a younger fighter in any combat sport, boxing, which you know much better than me, MMA, K1, kickboxing, Muay Thai, doesn't happen too often when the younger fighter beats the older fighter in a not close fight. And then several years later, they fight again, and the older fighter suddenly finds the fountain of youth and gets the win. Doesn't happen too much.
No, never does.
It's going to happen here.
No. Larry, I do want to continue our conversation and talk about some of the other fights on the card. If you have time to hang around for one more segment.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. We have more coming up with Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. We'll continue to talk UFC 214 right after this.